Tape 4, Love and Sex Obsessions, Romance versus Addiction.
On this tape, we're going to be dealing with love, sexual obsession, romance versus addiction. How is it that women become obsessive, or their masculine goes out like a predatory beast to capture what they want? I mentioned in the last tape that women generally are binging and obsessive off their masculine, especially when they use food or drugs or alcohol. That is one of the phenomena. But what about the woman who is not eating or drinking or using drugs? How does she misuse her masculine in order to go after a man in an obsessive way? First of all, she has to be a narcissist. She has to want to be respected for her thoughts, and she has to be cherished for her feelings, and she expects both from the poor person that's with her. Now, how did she get that way? Here are two ways. Number one, mother may have been a role model for her. Mother may have been the controlling masculine energy in the family, and she thinks that because mother did it, all women must have the right to do it. The fact that you don't want to be like her because she's so controlling, especially when you were a teenage girl, may indicate to you that perhaps she too was narcissistic and you learned it from her. Now, what was daddy like? Did daddy stay with her or did daddy leave her? Are you a woman that wants to be more like your mother or more like your father? For a girl, a female-bodied person, dad had to be cherishing. Now, did dad leave? Was dad a drunk? Was dad married to somebody else? Little girls need a daddy who's like the ozone layer, protects you from the burning ultraviolet rays. If your ozone layer of cherishing had holes in it, that hot ray came in, may have thickened your skin, may have helped you turn yourself into an independent, autonomous, masculine woman, which you may or may not like. So in obsessiveness, not in free choice, remember, a woman who chooses to be masculine, having looked at her voluntary options, do I want my thoughts respected or my feelings cherished in this relationship? That woman voluntarily can choose and speak from that position. But what if it's emotional narcissism, which is fine if you're single, which you may often be, but it is not fine when you're in a relationship. So how does a woman become obsessive? She becomes obsessive often because mother showed her how to do it, how to control it, and father wasn't there to say, honey, how do you feel, and how can I help you feel better? For the first 10 years in a girl's life, it is really important that daddy says, how do you feel, rather than how did you do? Many little girls today are being raised to be little boys by daddies who want their daughters to perform. When the truth is, that little girl will become a performer and may not be able to process her femininity, her cherishability, her receptivity. She may find she's in conflict with respectable men, men she wants, but who cannot have her because there's too much similarity. Now, what and why and how do men become obsessive, addictive? First of all, as I've said before, a man who voluntarily chooses to be the feminine energy is not weak, he's not obsessive, he simply wants to receive leadership from his woman or his man, he wants to be available to leadership, and he wants to be able to be in a relationship where he respects the other person. Perhaps he's very artistic. Perhaps he's a great American author writing the great American novel, and he wants to use his feminine creative energy. Men create off their feminine. Women create off their masculine. And that's the positive side of that kind of compulsion or drive. But when a man is addictive and obsessive, his goal is gratification. when she's obsessive and addictive, her goal is control over other people, places, and things. So when a woman obsesses, she's doing it for control. When a man obsesses, he does it for gratification. For those of you men and women who do choose an alternative lifestyle, one of the things that men who are gay need to watch is that obsession for gratification. Because without balance of your masculine, it can run away with you. And for you lesbians, if you're really interested in control, especially of your female partner, you've got to remember that control can be mishandled. There's got to be a balance of sensitivity and intellect, control and gratification. Now, how does a man become obsessively feminine? Very often, his father is a role model. Mom was the killer mom, and dad was the sweet and loving, funny, laughing guy who played along with her so the family could stay together. Now, if your mom and dad didn't stay together, why didn't they? Was dad so feminine and mom so feminine that they duplicated each other's systems and they had to find more complementarity? Or was dad a man who wanted respect and mom was a woman who wanted respect too and they collided with each other? Why aren't they working as a team? That's one scenario. The other scenario is mother was masculine and chose to cherish her son more than she respected him. Is the itty bitty baby boy feeling a little owie? Mummy will handle it. That bad principal and that bad teacher, they just don't know how sensitive you are. I'm just going to have to go down there and take care of you, my darling. The fact that he's 15 years old may be a problem. You see, it's interesting that all children under the age of 5 need to be raised to feel good. There's no such thing as masculine energy being demonstrated by little babies. You know, the Chinese say, give children 7 years of joyful childhood. I will take 3 to 5. Stop trying to teach your baby boys and girls to do it right. Help them feel good, because it's the ability to feel good that brings joy to life. Performing robots often end up in my office, whereas children raised to be children, at least till 5, will often be able to handle the strong and the heavy things of life. But as you get towards 10, little girls need to be asked how they feel by their daddies, and mommy needs to start saying, son, you're not feeling very good about this and that. What do you think you're going to do about it? Is there something you want me to do to help you do it? I don't really think that writing nasty letters to your teacher is something I'm comfortable with. Do you have another thought? You see, if I had my way, from 5 till 10, I would have all the daddies and the grandpas and the big brothers and the uncles ask all the little girls between 5 and 10, how did you feel today about this or that or school? And I would have all of the mommies and grandmas and aunts and whoever is female in a boy's life, how did you do today about school and your friends and the game, knowing that if he did good, he probably will feel good. Now, as you're well aware, somewhere around the age of 10, children of themselves start deciding, I want to be respected more than I want to be cherished. And you have to watch that child's needs. There are sons and nephews and grandsons who need to be cherished, who may in fact be very feminine, sensitive human beings. Find that out. And there are girls, you may call them tomboys, But those girls may not really want to be asked how they feel. They may want to brag about how they did today. So in essence, respect and cherishing has got to be shown to children early enough for the role modeling to be set, for the unique combination of mother to son, father to daughter to really work, which is, by the way, the basis of Freud's work. Masculine people obsess to control the source of gratification. You're mine. You're not going to go out with anyone else. You have been my woman. I know I'm married, but you're mine. Now, that's a control of gratification. In a relationship, generally, marriage particularly, the masculine energy brings status, which is not head of whatever company. It's your Mrs. So-and-so. In our culture, the male gives the status married, and the male gives the legitimacy to the child. Now, there are no illegitimate children. There are illegitimate parents. And the U.S. government is very careful about how many people we marry and who and what contracts are to be adhered to. And marriage is a contract. So, if you're the masculine energy, bring status, bring financial stability to the relationship. Doesn't mean your partner isn't working, but theirs is more optional and yours is more required. If you're the feminine energy, feminine people obsess to control the source of security and status. He's my man. I'm not leaving him. He owes me. In that system, the feminine energy brings a sensuous arena and a sexually available personage. So between status and financial stability, a sensuous, you know, a nice place to be, and a sexually available body, each person gets all four things. So obsession is a negative demand for that which you're not equitably bartering for. If you equitably barter, you bring your two to the table while they bring their two to the table for both of you to get all four systems. I've used the words addiction and obsession. I want to explain the difference between the two words. An obsession is something in the mind. I want that. I don't want that. Whether it's control or gratification. An addiction is a physical issue. For example, we talked about the oxytocin hunger. When a woman is pulled away or left by her loving sexual partner, she will go into a detox period, which for a couple of months can literally make her body feel bad. I tell women, if you've become aware that this relationship isn't working and you attempt to pull away from him, if he starts to show up at your office or he shows up on your phone or he shows up at the game or the bowling alley or wherever you are being reinfected with another oxytocin rush. It can take up to 2 years to get detoxed off of a significant sexual relationship. And every time he gets in your eyes, your nose, your ears, or your body, you're having another reinfestation of that wonderful chemistry called oxytocin, which will not allow you to see anybody else as anything worthwhile. You marry physically. He marries when he signs a contract that he's giving you status and financial security. Adrenaline is another sign that there is an addiction. You know, adrenaline can be promoted by anxiety. And two of the sources of adrenaline rush are to feel afraid of being out of control. And the other one is to be in the presence of someone that you're chemically attracted to. For example, If you're being around a man who is coming after you for control of you, you may find that he's angry at the thought of not being in control. Now, that adrenaline, it can be very exciting. It can make him gush and give and love. It can also be a source of emotion and of violence. So I absolutely want you, if you're the feminine energy, to be very wary and caring about oxytocin, especially for you ladies with the female bodies, and especially gentlemen, I want you to be careful with your adrenaline. Addictions are physical. Obsessions are mental. Now, an addiction also can be from a sense of intimacy that is false. I thought you were my woman. I thought you were my man. Now remember, when she binges for control. And she may be the one that finds herself pounding on his door, breaking in his car window, scratching his car, meeting him at the restaurant and smacking the woman he's with. It can show up in very destructive ways because you had an implied idea that you were in a committed relationship when in fact you didn't negotiate. Your body was in a committed relationship, but he didn't know that he was in it with you. Also, he may have a false sense of intimacy in thinking that you're his source of gratification and now you don't want to see him tonight or you don't want to have sex with him. The adrenaline rush from anger can be very destructive. So a false sense of intimacy can produce chemical reactions in the body. One of the things that I know about addictions, if you're an alcoholic or you're an overeater or if you're a drug addict or a sexaholic or a workaholic, one is too many and 1,000 is not enough. There is no way to gratify an addiction. You may be able to deal with an obsession because it's intellectual, but when it comes to the body, it wants what it wants and it wants it now. And if it doesn't get, it can in fact go irrational. That's when self-love is gone. Remember, spiritual and love mean that your mind, your body, and your spirit are in the same place at the same time. If the mind and the body are detached, or the mind and the body are not spiritually based, which means that a man's not in touch with his sensitive femininity, and a woman is not using her masculine like an anchor, but rather like a shovel or like a claw, then you will be promoting that thing called addiction. The last thing about an addiction is it's often based on abuse and violence, which I've talked about. When you're addicted, very often your mind cannot stop you from abusing and being violent. When you're obsessed, you still can go to counseling, a meeting, you can be rationally negotiated with. But people who are addicted are extremely intimidating. And that intimidation can spin the body off into abuse and violent behavior against yourself or against them. What is romance? You know, women are asking men, I want more romance. Men are saying, oh, you fuddy-duddy workaholic woman, you have no romance. Well, I want to tell you something, that when you're dating, you have two options. You can either date, which is, we're going to have fun tonight, today, whatever, but we're not really courting. We're not going into a long-term relationship. Let's just have sex. Well, no, first, we'll meet, we'll have a little bite, then we'll have sex, and maybe we'll do it again, but we're not going anywhere. A courtship is, we're not only going to be together now, as friends, we're not only going to negotiate our long-term, exclusive, and continuous relationship before sex, we are going to be building memories for our grandchildren. We want to be able to look at our relationship as something that was so sweet, so high school, so joyously virtuous, that there really are memories. You know, I often tell people, beware of senility. Senility, unless it's anatomical, is a person with no stories to tell. And if you want them to visit you in the old people's home, you better have entertaining memories to tell your grandkids or whoever visits you. And so relationships are a source of wonderful memories about how Grandpa and Grandma met, how you and he met, and how you tell the story over and over to the people that care about you. So building good memories, exchanging a good respecting system for a good cherishing, in order to compliment and waltz. We want to waltz. Slam dancing and discoing may be nice on occasion, but waltzing is where the intimacy is. Also, when you're dating or courting, and I'm particularly interested in courting because getting to I do is where we're going. Courting has to do with two people who are really four people getting together and getting to know each other. So leave the other people at home. You know, at least once a week for life, continue the courtship romantically. Remember, the feminine needs taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. And the masculine needs, oh, that's a wonderful idea. I would love to do that. Unless it's immoral or unethical, why not? Follow him. Waltz with him. Take her to a better place than she can take herself. So when you build a romance, build it for long term. Long term is the courtship. If you're just dating, bring her the flowers, bring her the dinner, go out with him, have sex, and I promise you, those memories will not be half as good as the ones that build a courtship. Even if you're just starting to date, imagine taking this relationship to its farthest extent, whether it's a week or a month. The courtship does not end at the wedding. I insist that people date as part of their courtship after marriage, with or without sex, with or without the flowers. Go out together and get to know each other. Do something and experience it for the rest of your life. Never stop courting, for the romance needs that wonderful, cherishing, respecting energy. Now, why is it that people are afraid of courtship? What is the reason that they only want to date, especially as they get older? Because, you know, you get into a rut, and pretty soon she's saying all men are uncommittable, and he's saying, why do I need a woman who can take care of herself? I mean, what's the game here? So I want to talk a little bit about the over 40 relationship in particular, because under 40, she generally is trying to get married, to have her babies, and her estrogen is gushing all over the place, and she's oxytocin bonding, and he's building the great American empire, and he wants the little woman and the kids, and they're building this thing. But if they don't start it under 40, which is not unusual, it used to be that people married under 25. Now it's between 25 and 35. So there's a lot of time to build some habits of healthy, narcissistic singlehood, which are not easy to loosen up on to exchange. Now, what is the reason that people are afraid to build a courtship? Those people very often are afraid and they avoid out of fear. She's afraid of giving up her newfound strength, her brains, her career, her ideas, her money, as if she wants total control over her life. But if she does have total control over her life, She better deal with the man who wants to be out of control, who wants to be her wife. She better deal with the man or a woman who's willing to say, what do you think and what do you want, and as long as it feels good, I'll do it your way. But if she wants to be with a person who is also respectable, also independent, there's too many men in this ball game. We need one respected, we need one cherished. But there's one time you don't have to compliment. That's when you only date. Because when you're only dating, you're just having dinner, you're having a little fun, you're having a little sex, you're basically keeping your money to yourself, you don't have to give up independence, you are totally free to be yourself. It's an equal relationship. You have it all. There's only one thing you don't have, a courtship leading to marriage. And when I say marriage, I want to reaffirm, it's not just legal marriage, it's that team effort that says, honey, I've got a chance to go to Denver for a job. How do you feel about following me? We both decided not to legally marry, but would you consider following me so that we can continue our relationship? That's her choice. Yes, she will. No, she won't. So the fear of losing control over her independent, creative, individual self is one of the reasons that women resent and resist courting. What is the reason that he is afraid of getting into a committed relationship wherein he takes responsibility for her pleasure, whether her is a man or a woman? The masculine energy assumes a lot of responsibility when it marries, by giving, by protecting, and by cherishing the other ahead of themselves. That's very selfless. Selfless is one of the signs of a very complete masculine person. When a woman bears a child, for at least the first 5 years, she gives up a lot of her rights to give, protect, and cherish a child. And when a man marries, the U.S. government gets very interested in those legal documents that they sign. Banks require 2 signatures if you're married, loans, all of the various things in our economic arena. When you marry, do in fact include a loss of independence on one person's part and an assumption of responsibility on the other person's part. Now, that's for a legal marriage. Well, why doesn't everyone just stay single? Here's the telling point. It is the female, especially the one under 40, who wishes to have the security and to have the responsibilities of bearing legitimate children helped by a giving, protecting man. It is woman who says no to dating, because dating is definitely a masculine game. It's for here, it's for climbing that sex ladder to the big I, to the big O. Masculinity is for wanting pleasure now. Femininity is wanting affection and long-term security, not only financially, but in the relationship. Remember, I've told you before, one of the elements of masculinity, whether it's a man's body or a woman, is variety, polygamy. I want multiple sex partners. I don't want to limit myself to one person. And one of the characteristics of feminine sexuality is oxytocin monogamy. I am yours, I want you to be mine. Will you agree to it? And one of the biggest signs of agreement is an engagement ring and a wedding date. A wedding which includes legitimatizing children. So I still say it is the female energy person that decides if they want to date for gratification or if they want to court for an ultimately total relationship, which must, by the way, be negotiated before sex and not after. In a relationship, the fear of change is also a reason that people do not get into a serious courting relationship. They would rather date. Now, what would be one way that the fear of change would cause a woman to not be able to build a relationship? She can't get past her little girl, her Puella. She stays this helpless little creature waiting for Big Daddy to show up. She came out of her father's home, and she wants to go right back into another father's home. And she better be with Sugar Daddy, who wants to be her daddy. Otherwise, a man who wants a total woman wants a woman who could be alone if she wanted to, but chooses not to be, and chooses not to be helpless, but to be sensitive and following. Who chooses not to be independent and controlling, but chooses to negotiate independence and control. He, on the other hand, often feels like big man on campus when he's afraid to not be macho. He loves helpless women. He loves being the macho that he was when he was a young stud. But the problem is, he's stuck in masculine. She's stuck in feminine. They're not using both sides of their psychic nature. He needs to have feelings cared for, and she needs to have careers and ideas respected. I've already told you how to communicate that. But some people avoid a good courtship by locking themselves into very immature, early age relationships of women are women and men are men. And that's not the way life is built.
This is the end of tape 4. Tape 5 describes the phases of a relationship.